welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and welcome back to a week of chaos. Not for you, but for me, because I leave for Disney World on Friday, and I'm going to be real with you, I haven't planned that much. And I've talked about this on Instagram, and I've mentioned it online, but I'm really in this new era, or at least trying to be in this new era, where I go to a Disney park and I don't stress. That's the goal. There's so much to stress about when you're dealing with transportation and a child and moving around and you're juggling so much stuff. Literally so much stuff. And yet I am trying to find a way through. I'm trying to have my mood be impervious to Lightning Lane stress. I've been working on this. If you've listened to the podcast, you know I've been working on this for a while. I like had a realization a few trips ago where I was like, I don't want to spend $100 to stress about booking stuff. I don't want to do that. And I'm not doing it. I haven't booked a single Lightning Lane. The window has opened. I've left it open. I haven't closed it. It's just open. I haven't booked anything. I've booked a few meals, which I'm very excited about. But beyond that, I just know what park I'm going to be at, and then we're just going to let it ride. Or we're not going to let it ride because we physically can't get on any rides. I don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be a very busy trip when I'm there. I think there's a cheer competition. I don't know what's going on. All the hotels were sold out. It's very, very strange. So we'll see how this goes. Will we fail? I don't know, but we'll get on something. We'll eat something yummy, and that's kind of all that matters to me. Now, I am coming to you fresh off a weekend of doing so much. I went to Disneyland. I went to Huntington Gardens, which is a beautiful botanic garden in LA. I had a kid birthday party. I had a play date. My husband had the Grammys. I opted out of going this year because I usually opt out of going. I went last year because he had an artist that we know very well nominated. This year, I did not want to put on a gown. I just didn't want to put on a gown. I didn't want to do it. So I didn't do it. And it was great. I didn't even watch it. He came home and told me what happened. And that was about it. I hung out with Pearl. We went and had a play date with Pearl. And then I made her macaroni and cheese. And we hung out. And it was a pretty good night. But anyway, we're not talking about that this week. We are talking about the best Disneyland restaurants for little kids and toddlers. That's what we are getting into. Because I've realized I keep going to these parks. I've been 2 weeks in a row with Pearl. She is going to these parks all the time. And while I've given you a guide for Disneyland all about visiting with a baby and toddler with rides and lots of suggestions, at this point, I just kind of wanted to break it out with just restaurants. Because I'm having the same thought process over and over and over when I go to Disneyland. And I'm like, where do we go? And we end up at the same places. And I really wanted to work to break down why we end up at these places. And that's exactly what I did. Now, one of these four Walt Disney Worlds will be coming around the bend. That one is a little more intense because there are so many more places to choose from and so much more transportation that is involved. And when you have a little, that means car seat, that means time. Like, it's just, it's a lot. The Disneyland one is coming first because it's more straightforward. So I hope you enjoy. Stay tuned for the Disney World one. We have a really important churros call at the end of this. You'll hear about it soon. But otherwise, I'll see you on the other side. I'll talk to you momentarily. Okay, bye. We're going to Disney World and we're saving money? That's just how we do in 2025 because we are lucky enough to have good friends who are really good at planning vacations over at Mouse Fam Travel. So here's the deal. You probably start planning your vacation by heading to the Walt Disney World website, playing around with dates, searching different hotels, comparing your options. But if you reach out to Mouse Fam Travel and tell them about your trip, they're going to do all of that for you. They're going to help you take advantage of major discounts like room deals and a free dining benefit that will save you hundreds. And on top of that, they'll even give you a gift card up to $250 just for booking with them. You'll save money and you'll make money by booking with Mouse Fan Travel. And I know you might be like, oh, I can do it myself. I'm an avid traveler. I don't need help. But a friend who regularly books their own trips recently took this advice, reached out to Mouse Fan Travel, and saved $1,000 on their Disney trip. $1,000! The difference in price from what they were going to book and what Mouse Fan Travel found, and they scoured different websites to check because they were shocked. Same trip, same dates, $1,000 difference. Imagine saving $1,000 on your next Disney trip while also saving time. And if you book for Disney World, possibly getting free meals and a free gift card. It's win, 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 win. And if you're thinking, well, if that's true, why have I been doing all this work myself? Exactly! That's why I'm so obsessed with Mouse Fan Travel, because all of this is completely free. I know! So if having Mickey Mouse cover the cost of your meals sounds pretty rad to you, head to mousefantravel.com/amusing today. Skip the booking process, save the time, and enjoy all the magic Disney World has to offer for even less. And hey, if you're thinking about a trip to Universal Orlando or Disneyland or a Disney cruise or Adventures by Disney, they excel in booking all of that as well. So don't delay. Head to mousefantravel.com/amusing and do Disney the right way. That's mousefantravel.com/amusing. Welcome back to our very special episode about the best theme park restaurants for babies and little kids. Because we've talked about places to eat before, but we've really never sat down and done it all. We've never outlined my top recommendations at Disneyland that I have gleaned over the past 22 months of spending a lot of money on food for a tiny person. Because even though you are at a kid-friendly place, a theme park resort, not all restaurants here are created equal. I keep finding myself drawn back towards certain places at Disneyland. I've kind of become a repeat offender when it comes to certain restaurants. I'm always there and I don't really entertain the idea of others. So in preparing today's hit list for you, I realized there is something about a handful of restaurants and quick service spots that just works for a parent and their small child and both of their needs. Now, this is not an exact science, but to brief you on how I chose these spots, I realized they all kind of hit a cross-section of three criteria. One, is this a quote-unquote safe space for a kid? Meaning, how high is my anxiety going to be, and how inconvenient will it be if they no longer want to sit at a table? Is there somewhere convenient to bring them, to have them run around nearby? Is it easy to eat here, but also is it easy to not eat here? Number two, is this a place that meets my child's needs? Are the chairs comfy or uncomfy? Is it mostly high tops? Is there ample seating? Are you in the boiling sun? I am not willing, mark my words, I am not willing to walk around with a tray of hot food and have nowhere to sit when my kid is hungry. That is simply not happening, and I would never recommend the same to you. And number three, again, number one, is it a safe space for a kid? Number two, is it somewhere that meets my kid's needs? And number three, is this somewhere I want to willingly go? I'm a person too. I'm the one paying the bill. Am I into the menu? Will I find something I want to eat? And since I'm at a theme park while currently in charge of another living thing, can my nutritional needs of what I need to get through this day be met here? That's kind of the scale I'm going with. Those are the key points. Basically, is it going to be demonstratively annoying to go there? And if so, if it is annoying, that doesn't necessarily mean it's a no. If it is annoying to go there, will it be worth it? Is this really a place that works best for her, but the food and location is good enough where I won't be stressed or annoyed? That is the balance we are seeking, people, when you are dining with a small person. All of those factors come into play in my tried and tested algorithm of experiential theme park dining with tots, which is why I've now got my favorites and my repeat go-tos. And I'll say, I'm really glad I'm doing this now because it's all still fresh in my brain. The memories of having a 10-month-old at theme parks on both coasts has not yet faded somehow. And considering she's averaging about a theme park a week at this point, and if I do the math, it might even be more than that. She's averaging like 1.2 theme parks a week, and she's not even 2 years old. So I have a lot of hours of research and random Disney parks receipts strewn around my office to prove that I have studied this a while. Because remember, like I said, even though we're in a kid-friendly atmosphere at a Disney park, not every restaurant is created equal, and not all of them are entirely kid-friendly. I mean, the high chairs at these places don't even always match up with the tables. Kids' menus can often have food that really doesn't work for babies or young toddlers, especially if their teeth came in late like mine. And it can be tricky to find them what they need outside the realm of smaller burgers and chicken fingers. If you, like us, don't have a young eater who's taking down chicken tenders yet, which is why I hit these specific places more than others. And let me preface by saying, this is by no means a complete list. I have not taken her to every single place at Disneyland Resort. But I've taken her to enough places to know what works for us. And given that I personally have eaten at almost every restaurant here, I stand behind it. So let's get into it. This is my rundown of the best restaurants for little kids and babies at Disneyland Resort. And we're going to start with my go-to, the one you can almost always find me at when I am at Disneyland with Pearl, and that is Rancho del Zocalo. And here's why. It is so easy to find a table here. Most of them are in the shade, and there's a drinking water faucet in the middle of the restaurant, meaning that you'll actually refill your whole bottle instead of tilting it halfway at those regular fountains and standing there forever feeling like an idiot waiting for it to dribble into your bottle. I don't like that. I don't like standing there holding it sideways, just being like, okay, one of these days I'll get water. No, they have one in the middle of the restaurant. Just a water, easy for you, easy for your family, easy for everyone. It's also got the best food offerings for you and your family or the group you're traveling with. If you need protein but still want a little treat, they got it. Need some carbs to fuel you but also want a snack you can stash away for later? They've got it. They really check all the boxes. Even if I am always low-key raging because most of my favorites that I used to rely on from here have been rotated out. And I'm still a little bitter about it. The main flaw of Rancho del Zocalo, despite how much I love it, is that you shouldn't and you can't go here alone with a child or children. It takes a long time to get food at this restaurant because they don't have mobile order. You have to wait in line. If they had mobile order, this would be the ideal restaurant. I probably wouldn't eat anywhere else. But even still, even with having to stand in line, they're just so reliable. You can get freshly made, I hit my lamp, I was so excited. You can get freshly made chips, which can pack up so easily and be tossed into your stroller for later for when at like 4:30 you're like, I need a snack. It's in your stroller, you're good. You can get a side of beans, of rice, of tortillas to serve to an early eater. You can get a kid's bean and cheese burrito, which is smooth and easy for them to eat. You could easily spoon it out, like scoop out the insides and feed it to them on a spoon. You can get that and it comes with rice and applesauce. They even have fun seasonal drinks, but they don't have horchata coffee right now, okay? I said I'd be calm. I know. I'm trying to deal with it, trying to deal with my rage that they don't have horchata coffee. They had horchata coffee. It was amazing. And even though they don't have it, I still recommend it. I said I had rage. I warned you. There it is. Oh, the horchata coffee was so good. Okay. I will pack it away. I just really care about Disney parks, the food I ate at them. But anyway, even with that deep indiscretion, it still works. In my opinion, it works when you have a small kid. So specifically, if you are traveling with a group, you have other adults, you have snacks in your bag, this is going to be the quick service recommendation. What you want to do is have the group sit, have them grab a table in the shade, set them up for success, put out some snacks for your kid, have whoever's there entertain the young ones. And then 20-ish minutes later, they will have yummies to eat. You yourself will get a really good and a really filling meal, which is so important. And you need that when you are at a theme park with a kid. If you are solo, it's going to be trickier. If you're solo with a tiny baby you got strapped to you, maybe it's doable. If you're solo with a toddler, I don't think you're going to want to be in that line for that long. It's not doable. Ideally, someone sits at the table with kid, you have some snacks, you get food, you bring it, you give them food after the snacks. That's going to work. It's going to work great, and it's worked for me in the past. My other go-to quick service is Jolly Holiday. And while it is not currently open, it is closed for an indefinite amount of time. It is undergoing refurbishment to what? I don't really know. This is where I am at half the time, which is why it's getting a huge recommendation here. If I'm hungry, I'm going to Rancho. If I'm snacky, I'm going here. And while grilled cheese, which is a staple of the menu, is a go-to for toddlers, I just like the vibe. I really like the setting. Tables are mostly easy to come by. They're shaded under umbrellas. But more than that, you get the Main Street ambiance. You get the soundtrack. You get things to look at. You get people to ogle. There's stuff for your kid to be entertained by. Sometimes you can even catch live music, the piano player, maybe a little processional. You never know what could happen. I mean, you could know if you check the app, but that spoils the surprise and doesn't back up my point. You never know what could happen because, baby, you're on Main Street. And if you yourself want something different, like a hot dog or a cherry Coke Zero, it's right over there at Refreshment Corner. And don't forget, this is a tip-top location because it is right in the vicinity of the baby care center. So if you're feeding your kid, you're having a bite, and you want to have a civilized diaper change afterwards, you just across Main Street and you're right there. It really can't be beat. It's cute, it's sweet, it does the trick, and it's really my other standard go-to for quick service food at Disneyland. But I do have a new honorable mention, Bengal Barbecue. Now, I know, I have somewhat slandered the name of Bengal Barbecue in the past. I don't like the vibe of the seating area because, again, the seating area is an old store. It doesn't feel like a restaurant or a dining area because there are tables in an empty store. It feels like you're just eating in like a marketplace shop hole. You know what I mean? Like someone sells stuff during the day and then clears it out at night. That's kind of what it feels like when you dine here. And it can be tricky to find a table because there aren't any in this converted store situation. But I've kind of changed my tune because this place really came in handy the other day. And I realized, yeah, this is something we definitely got to keep in mind for future quick meals. Because sitting semi-indoors in the shade while scarfing a stick of protein is kind of what every parent needs in their back pocket on a Disney day. They have mobile order. They have chairs. They have the basics that you need when it comes to protein. They have protein on a stick, which is so hard to find. Now, Pearl was not interested in my skewers that day, but you can get white rice for little kids. And worst case, it is a pit stop for you to quickly refuel with handheld sustenance on a busy Disney day. Again, I mobile ordered. It said that the times available were a while ahead. I refreshed it, boom, was able to order immediately. I stood there, I got my food, I quickly ate it. And you can stand there and eat it over a stroller if you have to. It is very rare to find something like that that is protein based. I actually went to the park last week with my friend Jeffrey, and he was like, I need some protein. He got a chicken skewer. I swear, I turned around and I looked back and it was gone. That's how fast you can eat one of these things. It's just helpful to have in your back pocket. Not a first choice. I think there's better vibes around, but still, it is really, really reliable to have if you need protein. And I know I've said bad stuff about the seating area, and I gotta take it back. I had a really good skewer. It was great. Now, there are other places with ample seating. Hungry Bear Barbecue, Alien Pizza Planet, but since my kid isn't really at ribs or whole slice of pizza age yet, and I really don't want to eat either of those foods at the park regularly, I don't wind up at those places as much. But there is always somewhere to sit at both of those. We will get to Disney California Adventure suggestions in a bit. But at some point on your Disney trip, you are probably likely going to end up wanting a proper sit-down meal, especially a dinner, especially if you're on vacation. And while I feel like I should be recommending Cafe Orleans or Riverbell Terrace, both would work fine, even though that area of the park is straight up chaos closer to Fantasmic time, both would work great, both having a lot of outdoor seating. And yet, I don't go there. I don't go there at all. Not even on my radar, not even something I'm considering. And I thought about this. Why? Am I biased towards walking paths? Do I fear that Fantasmic level crowd? Do I just not want this food? I can't quite figure it out. But I say that knowing that my go-to is and will always be Carnation Cafe. And it really doesn't even make sense. I think just selfishly, maybe I want a veggie burger and a view off of Main Street USA more than the others. But something about being on Main Street feels like a higher tier experience to me. It feels like it's a little more special to be off the main street than a street within a land. That makes no sense. It doesn't, but something about sitting on Main Street at a waiter service restaurant, ooh, baby, that's classy. I always request outdoor seating. The indoors is not it. The vibes are off. It is not good. And I know I'm saying vibes a lot, but that's really important when we're talking about going out to one of these meals because this stuff costs money and you want to enjoy yourself even if you are with a toddler and you are prepared for anything. But outside at Carnation Cafe, a late lunch, at dinner with the lights, ooh, it's just alive. And I love it for that. I also know that my body cannot make it through a Disneyland day and a drive home with a Monte Cristo inside of it. So that kind of helps when it comes to Carnation Cafe as well. I just always feel good about going here. I look forward to it. And I will be returning someday soon for Pearl's first big Mickey waffle for breakfast here, which they have on the menu. I have not been here for breakfast in many, many, many moons. I've never been with Pearl, and it's something I gotta do. I'm putting that on the agenda for the next Disney trip, which is usually, as I said, 1.2 weeks away. Or no less, 1.2 is how often. So 0.8 weeks away. Listen, I don't know how I got through math in school. We don't have to talk about it. We don't do numbers. We're moving on. We're blowing past that. But I do believe it is the only place in Disneyland. I research this every year. It's been a while since I did it, but I do think it is the only place in Disneyland Park you can get a Mickey waffle outside of the Prefix Mini Character Breakfast at Plaza Inn. It usually is the only place you can get Mickey waffles, and they have the big one, I think, the big Mickey waffle. So maybe I'll take her there for a little post-birthday treat. Oh, breakfast at Carnation Cafe. See, doesn't it just feel nice? Breakfast at Carnation Cafe. Ooh la la. It just feels special. We're going to take a quick break, but when we are back, we are going to talk about a risky choice that I recommend you make and all of my DCA dining suggestions. Stick around. We will be right back. We are so back because we are back with Armoire, which makes getting dressed easy. A clothing rental membership from Armoire lets you build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. And when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet that show up at your door in as little as 2 days. But honestly, I love to browse on Armoire because looking through the pants and skirts and jackets and blazers is kind of like guilt-free shopping. Really, if you're anything like me, a busy mom who travels a lot and has an unnatural attachment and love for her clothes, filling in the gaps in your wardrobe that you need to fill can be so challenging. It's just so much pressure to buy something, wear it once, realize it really doesn't work for you, and then feel the weight of guilt over contributing to waste or having it just sit in your closet for years and years and years until that pressure just kind of dissipates and it's just an object you're used to seeing. Or feeling bad about the fact that you spent money you could have spent on something else, like Armoire, and instead spent it on this thing you no longer want. My closet became such a place of stress and uncertainty in the different stages of my pregnancy and postpartum life. And giving new styles and silhouettes a test run, and looking great while doing it, makes Armoire an absolute must when it comes to finding or redefining your personal style. I just placed my Armoire order, and I'm so excited. I got this chic Reese tailored blazer that fully makes me look like a rich lawyer who's ordering a martini. And then I also got this pair of Farm Rio orange pants that I am so stoked about. They're like a bright orange. I cannot wait to wear them. I even got a minimal chic little plain black sweater from French Connection. They have everything. And let me tell you, if you want to try something new, whether it's a new style, a new pant length, or even a new color, they simply have got it. Right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/amusing. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/amusing to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. That's armoire.style/amusing. Welcome back. Now you're at Disney, which means you can kinda take a kid anywhere, but that doesn't mean you should. I mean, you can. Of course you can. You can take your kid almost anywhere. It just might be annoying or stressful, especially when there are many easier options elsewhere. But sometimes you're just like, you know what? I want it. I want the challenge because I want the memory. It is worth it to have some of these experiences, even if it can be tricky. And for me, the restaurant that embodied those feelings at Disneyland Resort was Trader Sam's Enchanted Tiki Bar. Oh, sure, they've got comfy outdoor seats. They've got plenty outdoors to look at on their patio, like tiki torches and stray cats, both of which my daughter enjoyed. But no, no, no. I rarely stay over at Disneyland Resort. I had the opportunity to have a dinner and sleep on property when I stayed, thank you to MEI Travel and Mouseman Travel, a little hat tip, when I stayed at Grand Californian with them. And I was there with Pearl, and I thought, you know what? I'm never doing this usually. My baby's only young once. And I went for it. And Pearl and I had indoor dinner at Trader Sam's. Oh yeah, I took my tiny child to have dinner inside at a tiki bar. Now, the caveat is people under 21 are allowed to sit inside at Trader Sam's until 8 p.m. It is totally allowed. It's just socially a little more of a because some people will get a little sassy about it for a handful of reasons, which I won't go into, but some people will give you a bit of a side eye. And when you are known by name on Reddit, it's just a thing you gotta think through. For the most part, our visit was amazing. We had a great time. Pearl and I really had a blast until someone ordered the Krakatoa Punch and the volcano on the wall exploded. But beyond that, it was lovely. She was real into the volcano until it exploded. That's what I'm gonna say. It exploded. She was upset. It went back to normal. She was okay. And we were fine. But the explosion, it didn't go over well. The food, though, fantastic. I got to eat a poke bowl. It was delicious. I had the salmon one. You can choose tuna, salmon, or tofu. It has avocado, cucumber, imitation crab salad, sushi rice. A really good thing to eat kind of in the dark when your child goes to sleep in the hotel room and you're still hungry because I didn't get to finish it, which I will get to in a second. And then Pearl had this salmon teriyaki bowl with rice and broccoli, and she ended up eating some of it the next day. Like, it just really worked out. It was a nice restaurant and they had good food. And I can't believe I got to go there alone with my girl. It just really felt like one of those true core Disney memories. And I'm just so grateful for it. It was a great meal and a great experience. But that brings me to a big piece of Disney advice when it comes to table service dining with a baby or a toddler. What you're going to want to do is order quickly and pay immediately. I usually ask for the check and to-go boxes as soon as food starts to arrive, just so that if my kid is like, no, we're out, we can bolt without having to wait or having to wait on anyone or having to inconvenience the server and have them rush over. I also always tip extra because if I'm coming into a space that's like kid approved, but not entirely kid beloved, I want to reward the kindness of the staff who is there for being patient with us. And hopefully, I don't know, like, pay it forward, like make it a little more karmically easier on the next person foolish enough to bring their tiny baby into Trader Sam's like I was. Now, if you want to enjoy Trader Sam's drinks or menu without this added layer of indoor volcano exploding stress, I highly recommend also considering the outdoor patio. Just keep in mind the seating is like cushiony outdoor seats instead of regular chairs. So you might just kind of be like up and down to help your kid, like up and back and leaning and leaning. The tables are lower at some of them. Like, just keep that in mind that it's lounge style seating, which might make feeding a little more complicated depending on what situation you are in. And I mention all of this. I mention all of these details, all of this pre-stress of going to a place like this, because I really think it's important. I think that weighing the potential for stress versus the joy of the memory is a really important equation to have with yourself and your family. Because I get the feeling, and when I say I get the feeling, it's because many people have expressed it to me, that a lot of you come to Disneyland Resort on this big vacation with your kid for the first time, and you really want to try Blue Bayou. You really want to try Blue Bayou, and you don't know if you should bring your kid there on your trip. And I get it. You want that moment that you can tell them about when they're older. You want those photos. You want to repeat it on future trips and be like, we came here when you were 2 years old and we've come back every 2 years since. Like, it's a big deal. These are classic Disneyland memories in the making. And so I'm here as someone who does this a lot to say, do it. Why not? I mean, they've got to be mesmerized by Blue Bayou, right? I haven't taken Pearl there, but now I kind of want to, now that I'm saying it out loud. And I just implore you to remember, whether it is this or any other restaurant or place you are hoping to bring your child on a long Disney day and possibly a long Disney vacation, anything is possible. But in areas where it might be a little more stressful, or you might wear anxiety-inducing because you're maybe thinking about possibly disrupting the people around you, I just want to make sure I stress it's all going to be okay. Worst case scenario, you go to the restaurant, your child has a moment and has to leave, you leave. They throw a tantrum, you walk out, you come back later. It's okay. And sometimes even that memory is memorable. It's happened to me before and I'll never forget those times. So really just think about it. If the juice is worth the squeeze, squeeze it. Because yeah, our Trader Sam's visit was not perfect. It didn't go great, but it went really, really, really well. And even though she freaked out for a minute or two, she was a little scared. I reset her. I calmed her down. Basically, just a loud noise happened. She didn't expect it, and that's okay. But otherwise, she had a wonderful time. She loved being there. She loved waving at the people in the restaurant. She loved seeing the stuff on the wall. She got to experience something she couldn't have experienced otherwise. And I do think that that at the end of the day is worth it, even though it will cause you a little more stress in the moment. If you are cool with handling it, if it's something you want to do, do it. You came all the way here. Why not? Now let's switch gears a little and talk about Disney California Adventure, because we talked about a lot of Disneyland park dining favorites, but we have not talked about DCA yet. And this park is kind of awesome when it comes to dining with a small child, because Disney California Adventure actually has a section right in the middle that basically operates like a food court. It's going to be a dream for you and your youngin. Basically, let San Francisco be your sanctuary within this odd and somewhat bizarre theme park. There are multiple restaurants here offering different types of cuisine. There are shaded tables. And if your child needs an area to run around, like they're sitting, they're eating a broccoli, and they're like, nope, I'm up and out, that back stretch towards Radiator Springs Racers is so clutch. If they need to move their body and just run back and forth, they can do that quite safely since that walkway tends to be a little more quiet. If you just need to give them something to look at, to be entertained by, to be patient for, oh, let's wait and see what cars come. What color will these cars be as the attraction drives by every, 25 or so seconds? There's just really good escape hatches mid-meal in this area if they happen to be dining in that center part. Also, the whole San Francisco restaurant era, my brain is like Taylor Swift era, like just definitely just go straight to Taylor Swift. Anyway, that whole area is mobile order enabled. So you can mobile order food at all main dining locations over there. Also, there is a bathroom right in the middle. But wait, there's more, because not only is there a bathroom for you, ta-da! It is also next to Disney California Adventure's Baby Care Center, which is not at the front of the park, but right over here. This area, filled with tables that often have something you can sit at, shaded, bathroom for you, bathroom for them, lots of food options, area to run around, will be your savior. And then, of course, there's the food, which is really good. You got Cochina Cucamonga, which has quesabirria tacos and horchata for you. Yeah, they have horchata on this side, but I really like the one that they had original socorro. I'm really upset about it, and I'll stop talking about it, but I know I'm so upset about it. I miss it. Oh, well, okay, I'm just going to tell you the story. I mentioned it before. I had an horchata cold brew. Ooh, and then I went to Harbor Galley and I got chocolate chip cookies. Ooh, and the both together. Ooh, ooh, heaven. I just needed to come back. That's all I need. Anyway, Cochina Cucamonga. They have that for you, and then they have a side of rice, and then tacos. You can do chicken or carne asada. You can pull the insides out for younger kiddos, make a little plate, let them pick at stuff, get some protein in them without having to cook it yourself, because I really don't like cooking meat at home. It's too much work. Great options there. There's also Lucky Fortune Cookery, which I have gone to with Pearl and without Pearl many times. They have kids and adult-sized yaki udon and teriyaki chicken. The teriyaki chicken comes with rice and veggies. I mean, you got protein, you got carb, you got veggie. Easy, healthy meal. Easy, we love ease. And then you have Aunt Cass Cafe with mac and cheese and other yummies served in bread bowls. When in doubt with your child at Disney, get a bread bowl. Get something you want in a bread bowl. Boom, pop that top off, hand it to them. Done. It's a piece big enough to gnaw on, but not too small to choke on, but it's soft enough to be safe to swallow. Sourdough bread is really going to come in handy when you have a hungry child at Disney California Adventure. Because again, if you need a snack or you need something to toss in the stroller for later, buy a loaf of sourdough. Buy it from there. Buy it at the cart. Pearl had her first gigantic Disneyland tantrum. I'm talking like ringing every alarm bell level tantrum at Disney California Adventure. And we eventually got her back. We got her back on track. And I was like, you know what we're going to do? We're going on the bread tour, because what better to teach her something in a museum-like environment, to entertain her, and also give her a free piece of bread? I did end up buying a loaf, and she just gnawed at it and ate a bunch of it. But lean on the bread tour. Lean on the bread. It is there for you. And again, all three restaurants offer mobile order. They've got toddler-friendly foods. They've got toddler-friendly potties. What don't they have? I do really think that we low-key, like, socially need to rebrand this area as a family-friendly experience. I swear, it's like the most reliable thing that you will have at Disneyland Resort as a parent all day. They should just lean into it. They should just have a cart that has, like, yogurt melts and some light-up toys, and we would just be set for life. Also, beyond this one key area, we need a fun name for it, and I'm blanking, some sort of like parental hub. This park itself, more than others, has a lot of places with seating. So if you're thinking like, oh, there's other places I could go that has seating beyond this, because sometimes it does get busy. It doesn't get I'd say catastrophically busy like some other locations, but it can get pretty packed and there could be not as many free seats as you'd like. But the problem with DCA, even though they have a lot of seating in a lot of locations, the good seating and the good food do not always cross over. It's why I'm not here recommending Paradise Garden Grill or Boardwalk Pizza and Pasta, because there's seating, but I'm not as likely to find something I want to eat and something my kid wants to eat. Similarly, Pim's Test Kitchen seems like it would be solid. They have this fun new grilled cheese, which I just tried, which was really good. They also have a tiny pasta with meatballs, very baby friendly. But there are too many seats in the sun, and there are too few seats for how many people end up there. But this little parental alcove over in San Francisco is reliable and worthy, and I highly recommend. And if you're feeling like your stroller and your mental state could handle an extra security bag check, I'm also going to recommend GCH Craftsman Grill. Located inside the Grand Californian Hotel, it's just outside the park, but their food is so good. Their food is so good, and they have indoor and outdoor shaded seating, and I really just think it's kind of worth leaving the park for, because the food options are so bankable. There are many grab-and-go snacks, there's whole fruit, there's like an interesting array of items. The menu right now, I mean, listen to this. Okay, I'm gonna pull up the menu because I couldn't believe how many different options there were just for you and stuff that you could take for your kid. Okay, they have... Currently, they have Dan Dan noodles, obsessed. They have the hot dog of the month, they also always have. The poke bowl, which I got at Trader Sam's, they have it there. They have a carne asada quesadilla, fish and chips, sticky chicken wings, salmon and steak salads, a Gouda burger, a bunch of pizzas. And then they have a kid's hamburger, kid's chicken tender, and kid's Parmesan crusted grilled cheese. There's just so many different things you can do there. And then the front, they have little grab and go stuff. I just think it's a really good thing to have in the back of your mind if you want to step outside the park and just decompress and have a meal. It's over by the entrance to the hotel is kind of by the Redwood Creek Challenge Trail. So it's super convenient before or after they're running around if they're in full toddler mode. But if you are more so looking for a sit-down restaurant, DCA doesn't really have a lot. And I will confess this, I completely forgot Wine Country Trattoria existed. I forgot it existed, like, not to bring it back to Taylor Swift. Wine Country Trattoria. It's like it never happened. It's like the Mandela effect. It's like it never existed until I put this episode together and was like, wait, what? Wait, that's still there? It still exists? It does still exist. And I feel bad because they have a pull apart cheese bread for starters. They have a handful of great kids options. I gotta try it. And I apologize for it not being in contention on this list because it would actually be really good if you're going for a meal with a kid. But I haven't been there. So I haven't been there in like 9 years. So I can't really say that. But I will check it out. I will check it out again and I will report back. But the two I have been to recently, Lamplight Lounge with Pearl and Carthay Circle without, I'm actually going to recommend Lamplight Lounge and not Carthay. I feel like the stakes for fine dining, special night out at Carthay are too high to bring a young kid there. Now, if you are someone who does not get anxious about your kid making noise in front of other people, be my guest, have so much fun. I'm someone who stresses out about that. So I would be more inclined to do the Carthay Circle Lounge. And it does definitely have a bar lounge feel. The menu is more limited. But if I was there with friends and my kid and wanted to really hang out, but also be able to feed her something, I would probably default to that. But if I could get a reservation at Lamplight Lounge, the downstairs sit-down restaurant, not the upstairs boardwalk dining, which is the high tables and high chairs, you kind of walk up, the actual restaurant downstairs, that would be my best bet. Now, on its surface, it shouldn't be baby-friendly, because some tables will not work with your young kid. Heed my warning. There's like bar seating and high seating and seating around fires and these big leather chairs. Like it shouldn't work. This shouldn't be a place I recommend. Again, our high chair did not line up with the table. A weird Disney thing I will never understand. It is extremely infuriating. But the food was great and we had a great time. But if you love lobster nachos, well, don't miss this week's Churro Hotline call because it has some essential information where that is concerned. But regardless of the lobster nachos, I haven't had brunch here. I've heard great things. I've had the lunch dinner, which is the same menu. The food's fantastic. They have this non-standard mac and cheese for kids and plenty of things that they could pick from out of your own menu items. The food here is more limited for kids, but we made it work. We gave her some Brussels sprouts, some of this or that. And like Pearl was able to eat a snack-sized meal. And I really thought this place would be stressful for containment if she got wiggly, which Pearl did, more wiggly here than at most places. But we walked laps, and it's actually a weirdly good restaurant for that, because some tables face outward towards the water, and then in the middle, everyone's facing inwards towards the bar. So you don't feel like you're being intrusive, you don't feel like you're edging past people's tables. And there is so much to look at because they're on the water. There's a roller coaster launch. There's the Mickey Fun Wheel, which I won't call Pixar Pal Around. I've decided I'm not saying that out loud anymore. There's so many things to look at. And so you feel like you can actually entertain them during one of those little trips away from the table. That is why I think Lamplight Lounge is a go-to. And maybe Wine Country Trattoria is too. But at this point, I forgot it existed. So I just don't know. Now that's my hit list, and I know it's short, and I know it's tight, but that's because I keep going back to the same places because I just think they're the ones that are worth my time and my money. There are plenty of places I've eaten with her, which I didn't love, which is why they're not included here, but they had to hit that triple factor mark, and I think a lot of these did. Now, the big tip in all of this is that you should absolutely bring your own food. Bring your own snacks, bring your own puffs, bring your own fruit, bring whatever you can to have on you. Not because the food here isn't good or anything, but because your kid is going to be hungry all day. All day. We're on a Disney day. We're not on a regular schedule. They're going to be hungry at times that they never usually are. And having snacks on you in line after a ride, being able to give them something quickly is so important. And once they are out of kind of that like baby 6 month phase, definitely have a stroller snack tray. Now, most people who have older kids know that. They're like, of course I have a snack tray. But that's something I didn't really think about buying when Pearl was about 8 or 9 months. And I'm so glad I had it. It'll be very helpful, especially if like the high chair situation and the table height doesn't work for them, if they're not on real solids yet, having a snack tray situation will be amazing. I do have a few honorable mention locations. First off, Red Rose Tavern. I had breakfast there. They had indoor seating in the morning. I know they can get busier throughout the day. I know their menu is limited. I think I gave Pearl a tater tot. So that's why I'm not fully recommending it, but I did have a nice meal. And Gaston came in and walked around, which was wild. Tiana's Palace. Haven't been there with Pearl. I don't know. The cafeteria style thing stresses me out. And like, there's like a lot of food there that I like to eat. I don't know as much for her, but I'm going to give it another shot. I bet she can have some rice. I bet she can have some other stuff. I do have to give that a chance. Tangaroa Terrace. Tables can be limited, but in the early morning should be fine. That's kind of why I'm like, meh. But I really like their breakfast. I really like their breakfast. So if you're looking for a breakfast outside of the park, it's not too busy. And as you've noticed, I haven't been to a lot of downtown Disney places with Pearl. We don't often spend the night. We often go to the park for a few hours and walk home. So there's a lot of stuff like Paseo, Centrico, the whole new building that's there, the Sip and Sonder, I think it's called, Gigi's Chicken Shop. Haven't done a lot of that. I've taken her to Din Tai Fung in Los Angeles and she's loved it. Haven't taken her to this one. I bet she'd love it there too. She loves the mushrooms, the woodier mushrooms. Obsessed with those. They're really vinegary. They're really good. And my kid liked them. So if you go there, give them a shot. But those we have not talked about. And I do need to acknowledge, we don't have character dining in here. The character dining options are really the morning Minnie Mouse Dine at Plaza Inn, Goofy's Kitchen at Disneyland Hotel, and Storyteller's Cafe at Grand Californian. There is the Princess Breakfast at Napa Rose, but because Napa Rose is undergoing construction, I don't know what they're doing during that time, and I don't want to tee up the Princess Dine and then have you be like, why is this in a ballroom at the hotel if that's what they end up doing it? So I don't know much there, but I've gone to Goofy's Kitchen with Pearl. Not the best experience. Not the best experience. Don't necessarily recommend it. If I wanted to do a character meal, I'd do one of the others. I haven't done either with a child. I have done them as an adult. I just, you know, pick your poison if you want one in the park or if you want one outside the park. That's basically my character recommendation. I think that is everything. If you have any restaurants that you want me to specifically check out, if you have any restaurants you've taken a small child to that you really recommend, I'm all ears. Call us on the Churros Hotline. I'd love to know more. And stay tuned a few more seconds because you got to hear this Churros Hotline call. It's very essential. I've waited for this episode to share it. Stay tuned. Okay. Thanks so much for listening. Oh, no. It's not over. It's not over. No, stay. Not thanks so much for listening. Thank you so much for listening to the next segment because we're not going away yet. Okay. Be right back. Okay. Love you. Bye. We're going to Disney World and we're saving money? That's just how we do in 2025, because we are lucky enough to have good friends who are really good at planning vacations over at Mouse Fam Travel. So here's the deal. You probably start planning your vacation by heading to the Walt Disney World website, playing around with dates, searching different hotels, comparing your options. But if you reach out to Mouse Fam Travel and tell them about your trip, they're going to do all of that for you. They're going to help you take advantage of major discounts like room deals and a free dining benefit that will save you hundreds. And on top of that, they'll even give you a gift card up to $250 just for booking with them. You'll save money and you'll make money by booking with Mouse Fan Travel. And I know you might be like, oh, I can do it myself. I'm an avid traveler. I don't need help. But a friend who regularly books their own trips recently took this advice, reached out to Mouse Fan Travel, and saved $1,000 on their Disney trip. $1,000! The difference in price from what they were going to book and what Mouse Fan Travel found, and they scoured different websites to check because they were shocked. Same trip, same dates, $1,000 difference. Imagine saving $1,000 on your next Disney trip while also saving time. And if you book for Disney World, possibly getting free meals and a free gift card. It's win, 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 win. And if you're thinking, well, if that's true, why have I been doing all this work myself? Exactly! That's why I'm so obsessed with Mouse Fan Travel, because all of this is completely free. I know! So if having Mickey Mouse cover the cost of your meals sounds pretty rad to you, head to mousefantravel.com/amusing today. Skip the booking process, save the time, and enjoy all the magic Disney World has to offer for even less. And hey, if you're thinking about a trip to Universal Orlando or Disneyland or a Disney cruise or Adventures by Disney, they excel in booking all of that as well. So don't delay. Head to mousefantravel.com/amusing and do Disney the right way. That's mousefantravel.com/amusing.
Hey, Carly, this is Carrie. I was just re-listening to your Disneyland Food Guide episode and got to the section where you were talking about Lamplight Lounge and you mentioned lobster nachos. The last time we were at Disneyland, which was a few years ago, I was all excited about the lobster nachos. We made a reservation at Lamplight for brunch, and I was so sad that lobster nachos were not on the brunch menu. And I was like, is there any way I can get them? And they said, no, I'm so sorry. And I said, okay. And I filed it away and I said, next time I will know better and we will not make a brunch reservation. We'll make a dinner reservation or lunch, or I'll check the menu. Just checked the current menu for Lamplight, looked through all the menus. I don't see lobster nachos. Could they have taken them away? Why would they do this? We're going in March for spring break, and I am at my window for a advanced dining reservations, and I'm like, maybe we don't make one at Lamplight because they don't have the lobster nachos. I mean, maybe there are other good things on the menu, but I was really looking forward to that. So can you please advise? Are they gone? Why would they take them away? I don't know. Okay. Thanks so much. Bye.
Hi! Okay. Now, this is a huge and important call that I am so grateful for. Because when I tell you, I went to Lamplight Lounge, the restaurant on the bottom, not the top. I went to the restaurant that you were talking about so recently. So recently, I think like maybe on Halloween, like truly like 12 weeks ago, 11 weeks, so recently. And we had the lobster nachos. So to get this call, I was like, what do you mean? I was basically just there in early winter and I had the lobster nachos and I looked into it and you're right. You're right. I reached out to Disneyland because this is such a high priority issue. And this is what I heard back. We are continually evaluating and updating our food offerings and have refreshed the Lamplight Lounge main dining room menu. Guests can still find the lobster nachos at Lamplight Lounge on the boardwalk dining menu. That means that's Disney speak for you want your lobster nachos? You gotta go upstairs. They do not currently have them at the restaurant, which is shocking. Which is shocking. And I know in this episode, I just recommended them because there is other, the other food on the menu is great. Maybe that's why they got rid of it. Because they're like, no one else is eating these really good dishes because they're just getting nachos. It's possible. But either way, the Lamplight Lounge food is great downstairs. But if you want lobster nachos, you're going to want to go to Boardwalk Dining upstairs. You're not going to want to go to the sit down restaurant. Pretty shocking. Pretty shocking. I'm right there with you. Not what I anticipated for a classic Disney food. But I will tell you, there's been a lot of discussion about the quality of the lobster nachos going up and down. And when I did have them most recently, they were fantastic. They were fantastic. And I was kind of I'm getting steak instead of lobster person. I've mentioned it before. Very amusing. No, we got lobster. It was great. They really hit. They were great. So if you are craving them, you can still get them, but just definitely adjust your restaurant priorities if so. Thank you so much for calling. This happened very recently, so I did not hear about it. I'm also really scared to be the person to tweet about it because I know that if I do, my mentions for like a week will just be like, lobster nachos, and just like so much rage that I can't handle. I mean, you heard me talk about horchata iced coffee. You've heard me talk about this, horchata cold brew. Like, you heard me, my instant stress about it. And I know that's what's coming my way, so I'm scared to tweet about it. But I want to let you know, I want to let all Very Amusing listeners know, lobster nachos, take it upstairs. Really weird, really surprising, but it is what it is. And if you, like me, were like, well, now I got to check my other favorites, and you go on the Disneyland website and you go to Pimm's Test Kitchen and you look for the Choco Smash candy bar, which I love, which I'm obsessed with, and you don't see it on the menu and you panic, and then you post on your Instagram subscribers and you're like, why are these two foods gone? And then someone messages you who you love, who follows you, who you're very grateful for, and they say, don't worry, I thought the same thing, and I went to mobile order and they have it on the mobile order menu and it is still there. It just wasn't listed on the main website menu. If you worry about that, don't worry. That's still there. But I don't even know where I started that thought, but the lobster nachos, it is true, only upstairs. Thank you for calling. Thank you for doing this extreme, important public service. I thank you for it, and I apologize. I apologize. Oh, wow. What a day. That's our show! Thank you all so much for listening to Very Amusing. You can rate, review, and follow Very Amusing on Apple Podcasts. Rate and follow us on Spotify. You can give us a call at 747-CHROS. Literally ask us anything. Anything. We might not get back to you if it's like something we can't answer. Like, I still don't know how cruise ships float. Would love to. If you know, if you're listening to this, call into the CHROS hotline. I still don't understand it. But you can call and ask anything, and hopefully we'll be able to answer your question, so long as it is not about how cruise ships float. Because again, it doesn't make any sense. Think about everything that's on a cruise ship. It doesn't make any... Who's the first person to figure that out? It doesn't make any sense. But if you have other questions, you can reach us at 747-CHROS, send a voice note to 747-CHROS, or email it to 747-CHROS@gmail.com. And if you just heard a little bring in the background, you didn't. My phone is on airplane mode. It is on silent. My watch is on airplane mode and silent. And somehow, because I have my husband's emergency settings on, it somehow came through. Anyway, you can get Very Amusing merchandise at very-amusing.com and follow me at Carly Wiesel across the internet. I'd say the old internet because there's so many other platforms now that because we're all trying to escape how bad the old ones are. They're bad. They're run by bad men, but I'm on them because that's how I communicate with my friends. So unfortunately, I'm on them, but you can find me making little giggles across the internet at Carly Wiesel, and you can join the FOMALY at facebook.com/groups/Carly Wiesel. Subscribe to my Instagram, 99 cents a month. If you hear this right now when it comes out, I am going to Disney World. I usually post a lot while I'm away. It's fun. It's fun to have a little other place. I usually post more about my Disney trips there than on the main feed. So subscribe at Carly Wiesel, 99 cents a month. Would love to have you. This episode was edited cunningly by Jeff Fox. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hi, honey, it's Mom. Oh, my God. Okay. So you start out with Epic Universe. I was completely lost. I have no idea what you're talking about. But now that you said it looks like France and it has French-style streets, I am very excited because I'm a big fan. So hopefully for our next trip, it would be wonderful to go to that or to go to something else and just not rush. Just not rush because you had mentioned let's just relax, take it easy, not plan. Oh, no. We start out taking it easy, then we end up leaving late, and then we're rushing, and then we're happening, and we're going everywhere, and we're going to 2-3 parks, and there is no, I know it's such a nice thing to think, we'll relax, we'll sit by the pool, have a drink. No, this is not happening. We're going, and I'm bringing my gym shoes and my clothes for walking, because that's what we do. We go everywhere. There is no sitting around. We do it all. You mentioned Dollywood, and I think you did say you can go with a parent. I don't think you were talking about me, but if it doesn't work out with your friends, I am so in. I would have loved to do that with you. But I don't like the roller coaster thing on the roof. Anyways, great episode. I love you so much. I love you so much, Pearl. And I will see you very soon, and I'm very happy about it. And I can use my season pass. You got me. I'm so excited. Everything. I'm buying everything because I get a discount now. Love you. Bye.